But the title of my sermon this morning is Resolution versus Resolve. You know, a resolution, it's a firm decision to do something. So you make a resolution, people, when they make the resolution, I am making a firm decision, this is what I'm going to do. For the coming year, I'm going to do this thing right here. I'm making a resolution to do these things. And people make resolutions, and most of the time with good intentions. But I don't know if any of you know this, the second Friday in January is called Quitter's Day. Quitter's Day. Because most people around the second Friday in January, the resolution that they've made on January 1st, by the second Friday in January, they've already quit. They've already given up. And I looked at a survey, a study, and there were 1,050 people that were studied in this study. And out of that 1,050 people, 1% said that they kept the resolutions for at least 11 to 12 months. So out of the 1,050 people, right around 11 people kept their resolution for at least 11 or 12 months. So what's the answer? What's the answer for fulfilling the resolutions, commitments that we've made, that you've made, you want to make in your life, commitments that you've made to friends, commitments, things that you've talked to God about? What's the answer for these resolutions? Because most resolutions only last about 2 weeks. 2 weeks and they've quit already. Well, the answer to resolution is resolve. And to define resolve is, it means to decide firmly on a course of action, to deal with something successfully. So resolution and resolve, the definitions are similar. When you had the resolution, a firm decision, and then you look at resolve, the difference here would be in resolve that you must decide firmly on a course of action. What are you going to do about the resolution? You can make resolutions from now until whenever. But unless you resolve to do something about it, chances are you're quitting on Quitter's Day. It was the ancient Babylonians who first started the whole New Year's celebration. They would get together and have these celebrations to honor the new year, but their new year, it didn't start in January, it started in March when all the crops were coming in. And then you had the early church who, they're Christians there, they had a tradition and occasion for thinking about past mistakes and making resolutions to do better or act differently in the new year. And in 1740, there was an English clergyman named John Wesley. Some of us heard of him before. Basically started the Methodist Church, and the Methodist Church was crazy back in the day. Not crazy good back in the day, but he started the Methodist Church. But he had what they called, he created covenant renewal services. And those took place on New Year's Day, or New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day. Or they're also known as watch night services. That was a term I was a little bit more familiar with. But during those watch night services, they included scripture reading, hymn singing, prayer, making resolutions for the coming year. So looking at a resolution, a firm decision to do or not do something, and to resolve is to decide, working with a course of action. When we think of New Year's resolutions, it's usually that you want to change something, you want to start doing something, or you want to stop doing something. But in order for that to happen, there has to be a course of action. We looked at some resolutions early on, but with regards to the one with travel. I'm making a resolution to travel this year. Okay. If it stops there, then you probably won't travel. You need to resolve. So when are you going? Where are you going? How much money do I need to get there? Do I need to get time off of work? That's how your New Year's resolution, I want to travel more. What are you going to do to make it happen? Or you've got here, you want to clean up clutter. Anybody got any clutter in their house? Anybody got a junk drawer or three in their house? Do we still have a junk drawer? I don't remember. But anyway, but sometimes we want to clean up the clutter physically, or we want to clean up the clutter mentally. Carrie and I, probably 5-6 years ago, whatever it was, we decided that we're going to clean up, we're going to downsize, we're going to get rid of stuff in our house. And so we started over a period of time and started getting rid of stuff, cleaning up the clutter, getting rid of stuff. We resolved. We had a resolution. Here's what we want to do. Here was our resolve. Our resolve was to, you haven't used it in a year, get rid of it. That's me. That's not necessarily her. I'm that person. If I haven't used it, I don't need it. Unless it's a chainsaw or a power washer or I need all those things. But we started downsizing to the point where now everything we own fits in a 2-bedroom apartment. That's it. We don't have any storage. Don't have any storage units. But we want to be ready at a moment's notice. God, what do you want us to do? And we can grab the 2 suitcases and go. We're not going anywhere. We want to save more money. What are you going to do about it? That's a resolution. I want to save more money this year. Well, how? What? How are you going to save more money? I had a guy that I used to work with. One guy in particular that I talked to. They had a program called deferred compensation, to where you could take a little bit of money each paycheck, put it into this investment program, and then over the years, as you're working at the prison, where I was, 25, 30 years you're there, it grows. And I think when I left there, it was gaining like 7% interest, which isn't too bad. And so I told this kid, he's young, he's coming into the prison, I said, get involved in deferred comp. Don't go and do like everybody else does, and they go out and buy a brand new pickup truck. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I talked to him a couple of months later. Hey, did you get in deferred comp? No, but I bought a brand new truck. You got to have a plan. If you want to save money, you got to have a plan. You want to quit smoking. My dad started smoking when he was 9 years old. And he quit when he was 42 years old. And kind of the incentive was his first grandchild was born and he wanted to be around to see her grow up. But how did he quit smoking? I want to quit smoking. I resolved to have a resolution. I want to quit smoking. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, for him, there was a program at the time called Cigarest. I don't know if anybody heard of that. But he took that 3 days later, mostly because he wanted to, but 3 days later, he quit smoking and never had one ever from that moment forward. But he had a plan. He didn't just say he's going to do something. He had a plan in doing it. Well, I want to volunteer more in the coming year. Well, what are you going to do? What do you want to volunteer for? And are you going to make a commitment? Are you going to sign up? Ooh, I don't want to put my name on a piece of paper. That means I actually have to do it. Well, if that's what you want to do, you want to have a resolution to volunteer more in the coming year, then there's a course of action that you have to do. It's okay to make New Year's resolutions. But if we're serious about it, we have to concentrate on the resolve aspect of the resolution. You can't just say it and then do nothing about it. You got to actually do something about it. So I say, and I've done this before, take inventory of 2024. Take inventory of your life in 2024. What held you back from doing the things that God's called you to do? Do you know what God has called you to do? Have you sought Him in what He wants you to do? Or are we coasting through life? I've coasted before. But look at your life in 2024. What is it that's kept you, or what kept you from doing the things that God wanted you to do? Did you have a course of action, or did you have good intentions? Good intentions quits on the second Friday of January. That's Quitter's Day. You know, was the fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, clutter of life, were those contributing factors that kept you from doing the things that God wanted you to do this year? Are we content just to wake up every morning, go, piddle around our house, do the things that we do, mow the grass, and those types of things, come to church on Sunday, and then go home and eat Sunday dinner, go to bed, get up, and do the same thing all over again? Are we content to do that? Is that what God has in store for you for the rest of your life? He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He told us to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. He told us to cast out demons. That's what He's told us to do. do. Those are the things that God wants us to do. Now, how do we go about doing it? We got to get into the book, and figure out what the plan is in those areas that God wants us to walk out. And we got to resolve to act upon them. Proverbs chapter 3. Resolution versus resolve. This verse here, resolution to resolve. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's my resolution. I want to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. That's my resolution. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. That's my resolve. I'm going to seek His will in all that I do. And then it says, and He will show you which path to take. How do you seek His will in all that you do? You get into the Word. Our resolutions should be to seek the Lord's will and then resolve to do what His Word says to do about it. His will is His Word. And His will and our will should be lined up. Whatever His Word says, that's it. It's not that we can't have fun. He didn't say, Rick, you can't play disc golf anymore. He did tell me you were playing it too much. When I was playing it 6 days a week, hey, Rick, you're spending more time playing disc golf than you are in the Word. Time to cut back on disc golf. Not that we can't have fun. But we have to resolve to do what His Word says and then trust Him to help us. Isaiah chapter 43. These are in the New Living Translation. This is kind of, for me, and I believe for our church, the theme passage for this year. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 15. It says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt and with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. Forget 2024. But man, I had some major victories. Okay. You have the victories. You can continue to share those victories, what God brought you through in helping other people. But Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, I press on. And it says here, but forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. God's got some great things in store for us in 2025. And if we're seeking Him with regard to those things coming in 2025, if we resolve to pursue Him through His Word, to allow Him to reveal those things to us in 2025, we're going to live a successful life. We're going to do great things for the kingdom of God. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I am about to do something new. See? I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. When you thought it couldn't happen, when you thought there was no way possible, He's saying that I will create pathways in the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry land where it seemed like, man, that town there is so dry, no ministry has ever worked there before. It's so dry, it's tumbleweeds are blowing through there. He's saying, I'm going to create rivers there. And where water comes, life begins. You talk about these survivalists, these people who homestead. And the thing that they'll tell you is, water is life. Without water, you can't survive. You can't grow anything. You got to drink water. Water is life. So we need to resolve to pursue the new thing. Well, how do we resolve to pursue the new thing? Joshua 1:8 tells us that. It says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. No quitter Friday. We can have a resolution. But when we resolve to meditate on this word day and night, when we resolve to obey everything that is written in it, we'll make our way prosperous and we'll succeed in everything that we do. Will the church ever figure that out? When we get the Word of God on the inside of us, we believe that that Word of God is meant for us today. It was written to us today. When we get that on the inside of us, when we finally get a revelation of who God is and what He wants to do on this earth, and He wants to use us to do it, then we'll succeed. We'll be prosperous in everything that we do. I mean, I'm getting to the point where I'll dive in and do what God says to do. Even if I might look foolish in the eyes of men, I know I don't look foolish in His eyes. I just want to resolve to do the plan, to be on course, to do what God wants me to do. I want to follow His plan. And you know, He's never going to give us something. When He's talking about here in this other verse, a new thing, there's never going to be a new thing outside of the Word of God. We're not adding to the Word of God. The new thing will line up with His Word. The plan of action that He shows us as we meditate on His Word will line up with His Word. He'll never give us something that is contrary or outside of His Word. You know, maybe he's called us to resolve to worship Him more extravagantly. Do something different in our private and our public worship of Him. 2 Samuel chapter 6, very familiar passage to a lot of you. It says here, starting with verse 12, it says, then King David was told, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went there and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with great celebration. After the men who were carrying the ark of the Lord had gone six steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all of Israel, people of Israel, brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. Can you picture that? Shouts of joy, blowing of horns, dancing with all of his might. When it was talking about in that passage there, it talked about how he whirled around with all of his might. Verse 16, but as the ark of the Lord entered the city, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. When David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, how distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like a vulgar person might do. David retorted to Michal, I was dancing before the Lord. I wasn't dancing for people. I wasn't dancing with all my might. I wasn't worshiping God for people. I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I celebrated before the Lord. Yes, and I am willing to look even more foolish. Or as one translation says, even more undignified than this. Even to be humiliated in my own eyes. Now, I'm not saying that we have to have a crazy swinging from the rafters, somersaults down the aisle, picking up snakes type of service. I'm not saying that. And if we're forcing that type of behavior, it's not God. It's not God. That's the flesh. But what I am saying is we need to resolve. We need to have a course of action. We need to have to follow the example to do something different when it comes to worshiping God. I was thinking about this. When we start to realize that He's our deliverer, He's our comforter, He's our peace, He's our joy, we got to resolve to worship Him because of that. And do we resolve, is our worship that I worship silently within myself? That's okay. You can worship that way. But you know what? Sometimes it needs word and deed. Sometimes, have you ever had something on the inside of you that you can't hold in? It just has to come out? Anybody ever been watching? I'm going to use this example. Maybe none of you like sports. I don't know. Have you ever been watching the World Series or the Super Bowl and your team just won? How do you respond? I march around the room and get in everybody's face. My team won. The Cubs won. I'm glad I have the microphone. But we're not ashamed to worship Him, to cheer and shout for our favorite team. Who isn't your comforter, who isn't your redeemer, who isn't your joy, who isn't your peace, who isn't your deliverer. They're none of those things. Matter of fact, your favorite player on that team, he may be gone next year. When the Bears won the Super Bowl back in the mid-80s, that whole team was gone the next year and they haven't done anything since. So the things that are here that are temporary, that are for a moment, they don't last. We shouldn't be worshiping them greater than we worship our God. And sometimes we need to do it out loud. I'm not forcing anybody to do anything. I'm not saying we have to be crazy. I like a little woohoo every once in a while. But you know what? Sometimes there needs to be word and deed. You know, maybe we need to resolve to share Jesus with somebody this year. Father, you said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's my resolution to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And now here's my resolve. Here's my plan of action. Years ago, I've shared this before, but I was teaching youth group. And we had this program called I Am Second, and it's a bunch of people you would know. Albert Pujols is one of them. A bunch of singers, actors, all these people who are born again, famous people that you would know. And they get on there, they have a white chair with a black room, they're under a spotlight, and they start telling their story. Here's where I was, here's the journey I was on, and then here's where I received Jesus as my Savior. My name is Rick Medeiros, and I am Second. Meaning Jesus is first. So in the course of that program, teaching these youth, I bought a white chair. I set up a room with a light shining down on them, darkened in the back. And they got the opportunity, they got a week's notice, but they got an opportunity to sit in that chair and share their story of coming to Jesus in front of their fellow classmates. Each one of them did that. We recorded that. So that when they come in contact with somebody to share Jesus with, it's not their first time. Their first time is not their first time because they've already done it. So that when you walk into Walmart, walking with a heart of availability, I have this resolution. Here is my resolve. These kids, they told their story. They have a plan of action so that when they step inside of Walmart, they step in, go out into the parks, they go out in school, wherever it may be, their first time is not their first time. They have a plan of action. They have a resolve. I may have told this before, but a friend of mine playing disc golf at McClure Park out in Oklahoma. Lady has a dog, pulls her. Dog's big old dog, pulls her onto the ground. She's on hands and knees. Knees are all skinned up. She's probably, I don't know, 65, 70 years old, something like that. We rush over there. I grab the dog. He grabs her, picks her up, and taking care of her physical need, making sure she's okay. You know, she gets herself all dusted off, sit down on the bench. Got a chance to talk to her. In the course of talking to her, we found out that her husband had just died 6 months prior. And she wasn't over that yet. And so we got to minister on that level. And then she was talking about how we started talking about attending church. And she said she currently wasn't attending a church. So we got to invite her to church. Things like that. So we had this, we saw a need. We had already had the training. We knew what to do. We resolved, once we saw that, to go there and take and deal with that situation to where this lady here, we got to share Jesus with her, take care of her physical need, share Jesus with her, pray with her, invite her to church. I want to be able to share Jesus with more people this year. What are you going to do about it? What's your plan of action? And when you do have a plan of action, when the opportunity presents itself, are you going to step into it? Yeah, I'm going to step into it. I've been a Christian for 40 years. There's Christians for 40 years that have never shared Jesus with anybody. Got to have a plan of action, and then you got to do it. Now, some people, they choose to have to set what's called anti-resolutions. A list of not-to-dos in the new year. Things that you've done that you want to stop doing. Quit it. I worried too much this last year. Now, I didn't, but maybe somebody did. What are you going to do about it? What's the resolve? Well, the Word says to cast all your care on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. So we got to find out what the Word has to say, and then we got to do what the Word says. Maybe you need to let go of excellence. Ooh, why would you do that, Rick? Why would you let go of excellence? It's okay to have high standards and to do things well, to do a good job. But excellence and perfectionism can lead to frustration as well. I like to do a good job. Carrie will tell you, when I do something, maybe y'all do this. If I'm doing the dishes in the house there, when I'm done with the kitchen sink, I got some soft scrub and I'll scrub it out before I'm done with all that. Then I'll take a dry towel and I'll dry out the sink. I'll take a dry towel and I'll wipe off all the chrome, get in behind the faucets there. I'll take the counter and I'll pull everything forward, wipe behind everything, push everything back. Sweep the floor, but then take the vacuum with the edger and go along the baseboards and up into the corners, all those types of things. I like to do things well. I like things clean, and maybe y'all are the same way. But when I have that expectation of someone else, I've been in a house before. I remember this as a kid. I must have been 12 years old. I still remember it to this day. I walked into somebody's kitchen had in my bare feet, and I stepped and had a rotten onion squeeze up between my toes. I remember it to this day. But you know what? It didn't bother me. I can go into somebody else's house. I see things out of place. Doesn't bother me a bit. But if you come to my house, it bothers me. It can cause frustration. So I need to let go of that. And when it comes to excellence, when it comes to those types of things, I need to do the best that I can do with the resources that I have available. So you can have a resolution. I want to do things more excellent this next year. What are you going to do about it? What's your resolve? Well, my resolve is I'm going to do the best I can with the resources I have available to me. You know, we can say, I resolved, and this is something I wrote down for me. I resolved to ask myself at the end of every day, at the end of every week, at the end of every month, at the end of every year, where I could have possibly done better in any respect and correct it. Sounds like a plan, doesn't it? How about we get a little bit more specific? It's a plan, and you're on track. But I resolve to ask myself at the end of every day at 7 p.m. At the end of every week on Friday. And at the end of every month, the last day of the month. At the end of every year, December 31st. Where I could have possibly done better in any respect and correct it. Now we're getting a little bit more specific. Now we have a resolve. We have a resolution to do these things, but how are we going to do it? And how specific are we going to be in doing it? I resolve that nothing other than the gospel shall have any daily influence at all on any of my actions. How do I do that? I resolve to immerse myself in the Word daily. If the Word's going to have first place in your life, then the Word has to be daily in your life. We can talk about it. I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. How many have read through the Bible in a year and come March, you're still back in January? That's happened. I heard somebody say today, if you read 12 chapters a day in the Bible, you'll have read the Bible in 3 months. There you go. There's a plan. But I resolve to never give up or give in while aligning my life with the Word. I'm going to choose a no-nonsense accountability partner. To never give up or give in while aligning my life with the Word of God, I'm going to choose, this is my plan of action, I'm going to choose a no-nonsense accountability partner. 2 Samuel, or Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Sometimes you need that. I want to get closer to God. I want to pursue God more. Well, sometimes you need somebody to hold your feet to the fire. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Sometimes our course of action is to align ourselves with fellow believers. We have struggles in life. And sometimes you need somebody, an accountability partner, that will stand with you in those struggles as well. I had an accountability partner. They live up north now, so I don't get to see him like I did. But he was a guy that I could come to him, and if I saw him acting goofy in his life, I could say, hey, you're acting goofy, stop it. And in turn, he could say to me, hey, Rick, you're acting goofy, stop it. And we wouldn't get mad at each other. Because we wouldn't just say, you're acting goofy, stop it. You know what the Word says in regards to what you're doing right now. Get back in line. And to have somebody like that, and you can't just have anybody like that. You got to trust this person. But sometimes we need to resolve to have ourselves line up with a fellow believer. And once I've done all that God requires of me, I've resolved to do all that God's required of me, I then can have an expectation of God that He will do all that He said He'll do. So when we come in line with the Word, when we resolve to follow what the Word of God is saying, we can have an expectation that God will do all He's said that He's going to do. Now the Bible, it says nothing about making New Year's resolutions. Just so you know, that word is not in there. But it does give us wise advice about making our lists. We make lists. We want to travel. We want to save money. All those different things. It does give us wise advice on those things. So we ask ourselves, what would God want us to do? In Proverbs chapter 16. It says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Here the proverb is telling us that as we grow and discover talents and gifts, we make plans that we hope would be fulfilling for us in the future. I have plans to become a professional disc golf player. Yeah. Okay. However, the writer of Proverbs is reminding us that it is only God who sees our futures and knows what is best for us. Therefore, as we seek the future, our futures to come, we recognize that as we rely on God, He'll show us the path. He'll show us the way to go. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whatever you resolve to do, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through Him. In Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's your course of action. How do you become not conformed to the world? You renew your mind through the Word. That by testing, when tests come, because you've renewed your mind to the Word of God, you may discern what is the will of God. If you haven't renewed your mind to the Word of God, then you don't know what the will of God is. But because you've transformed, you renew your mind to the Word of God, now you know what the will of God, so that when tests come, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You can discern what is good and acceptable because you transformed your mind by the renewing of it with the Word of God. Is it okay to make resolutions? Sure. But as believers, our resolutions should be followed with a resolve, a course of action. And our resolutions should be drawn from the Word of God. He has the perfect will for our lives. Is it okay to resolve to save more money? Sure. I want to save more money. But we need to make sure that when we are thinking New Year's resolutions, that we seek God in that area for the year and not just come up with whatever it is that you want to do for the year. Because most of the time on sheer willpower alone, you're not going to get it done. Quitter Friday will meet you the second Friday in January and you'll give in to it. You know, maybe we want to make a resolution with resolve to glorify God in the health of our bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. You're not your own. You can't do what you want to do with yourself. Thought you could, if you're a believer. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Now, we can get a lot of different messages out of that. You're talking about your body being the temple, but I'm talking about your physical body here this morning. And I'm by no means a diet expert, just so you know. But I knew for me, and I heard this here not long ago, that I needed to get lean for the King to be able to do the things that He's called me to do. I don't want to be sitting up here on the stage on a stool because I can't stand up to preach. And I'm not. Now, this is going to sound offensive to a lot of people, and maybe I shouldn't say it, and maybe I'm going to keep my mouth shut right now unless the Lord releases me. That's a better idea. Okay. So we can make another one. We can make have a resolution with resolve to glorify God in our finances. James chapter 4, starting with verse 13. It says, look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain town, and we'll stay there for a year. We'll do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you're boasting about your own pretentious plans. And all such boasting is evil. So could we say, when we make New Year's resolutions, if we have not sought God with regards to these New Year's resolutions that we're making, all such resolutions are evil? Did we seek God? Did we seek His Word, what His plan was for us? Proverbs chapter 21, talking about resolutions and resolve to glorify God with our finances. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 21, verse 20. It says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. You ever heard that saying, that money burning a hole in his pocket? Can't keep it in there. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Said, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Or we say, and the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich with true riches, and he adds no sorrow with it. It comes as a blessing from God. To honor God with our finances. We want to make a resolution to save more money this year. Well, let's seek God on it. And let's have a resolve. Let's have a plan of action. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. It says, lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. So if you have a resolution that I want to be more prosperous this year, I want to save more money, you might have to work a little harder. You might have to do something. When I was working at the prison, we had what they called SPIs. And I received SPIs. SPIs are special pay increases. You get your normal yearly step increases, but these are above your step increases. And I received SPIs because I went ahead and did a little more than was expected of me, and your supervisor saw that and submitted paperwork to the warden to give Rick a special pay increase. And I got those. I had to work a little harder, had to do a little more in order to receive these pay increases. So we can seek God when it comes to glorifying Him with our finances, but here He's saying, lazy people are soon poor. So what's He saying? Don't be lazy. If you want to be rich, you want to have increased wealth, don't be lazy. I knew a guy one time that they had tore down this old brick building. They had red bricks out there. And he went out to these red bricks, and he had a little chipping hammer, and he chipped off all the mortar to where he had a nice red brick. Spent time out there, chipped that mortar off those bricks. And when he got all the mortar chipped off those bricks, he sold all those bricks. Took him some time. He wasn't lazy. He put in the effort. And when he put in the effort, he went and sold those bricks. Didn't cost him anything except time. But he wasn't lazy. Went out and sold thousands of these red bricks. The lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. So if it's your resolve, if it's your resolution to have more financially this year, then you got to resolve to have a plan. What are you going to do? Well, number one, you need to pursue God. And He'll show you, He'll direct your paths. Trust Him with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. He'll tell you what to do. He'll give you creative ideas. Ann Ashby, if they were here this morning, she talks about things that she's done to purchase something at this low price here and sell it at a higher price over here. God gave her an idea. My daughter is knitting. People think, oh, old lady knit. No, she makes hats, stocking caps, scarves, all kinds of different things that are better than what you'll buy in the store. I had mine on yesterday out walking the dog, and it's warm, just so you know. But she makes that stuff. She's not lazy. She's putting her hand to something, creating something, and then selling that something. Maybe it's clearing the clutter from our minds and from our life. There is so much information coming into our minds every day. Sometimes we just got to stop and be determined. I'm not going to think about those things right now. We spend way too much screen time. Maybe nobody in here does. I find myself spending too much screen time from time to time. Matter of fact, I had so much screen time one time, been years ago, that when I would walk away from it, my eyes, my vision was always just a little bit out of focus. And I'd walk around like that for hours. And it's like, okay, you need less screen time. So there's less screen time in my life. But you know what? There's about 1,001 different forces that are competing for our attention, attempting to overload our minds. So to fix this, we must resolve to focus. And our first focus is to focus on the things of God. What it is that He would want us to do. Jesus had focus. In John 6:38 it says, "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me and not do my own will." I come to do God's will, my Father's will. I have no other purpose. I have no other focus. So if Jesus has single focus to do the Father's will, in Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 12, it says, "I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me." No, dear brother and sister, I have not achieved it, but I focus. I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. In Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven." Focus on the things of heaven, not the things of earth. "For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." And in Joshua 1:8, we read this earlier, but it says, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Focus. We have to have focus. We can make resolutions. All these things that we would like to do, all these things that actually probably even would enhance our life, make our lives better. But our resolve, our plan of action, has to be first to seek God. And what's His plan for us for the year? So we've entered into this new year. Quitter Friday is next week. If you've made plans to pursue God more this year, don't quit. Don't let Quitter Friday be in your future. Come up with a course of action today as to how you can pursue Him in a greater way. It's okay to make resolutions to improve yourself, spirit, soul, and body. And the Bible gives us the course of action, the plan of action to do those things. We have to have a resolve to do what the Word of God says. You say that all the time. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Yes, the Word of God. We have nothing if we don't have the Word of God. Well, we got Jesus and His blood. Where'd you learn about that? The Word of God. We have the Word of God. We need to pursue Him. We need to meditate on it day and night. We need to focus. We need to have a resolve to do those things. And then we don't have to worry about New Year's resolutions. Because He says if we meditate on it day and night, then we'll be prosperous. Then we'll succeed in everything that we do. You don't need a New Year's resolution at that point. Let God direct all of your who, what, when, where's, and how's. And you'll be successful in everything that you do. Father, I just thank You for this morning. I thank You that we've gathered here before You. Your Word is true. And Father, our resolve is to know You more. For a plan of action to pursue You in a greater way is what we desire. And Father, I thank You that You've given us that plan. You've given us that instruction manual. You've given us what we need to fulfill that. And so, Father, as we travel out through our days, our weeks, our months, and the rest of this year, our focus isn't necessarily on the resolution, but our focus is on You to resolve to do what it is that You've called us to do this year, to accelerate Your plan this year. To be instruments used of You this year. And Father, we know that Your Word will lead us and guide us, and that You'll help us in any area that we need help. You'll not give us something that we can't handle. And so, Father, as we leave this place here today, we know that we don't leave You here, but that You go with us. Your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us and directing us, showing us things to come. And we commit to be a part of establishing Your kingdom on this earth here today, to live out that new thing that You're going to show us in regard to Your Word. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just wanted to thank everybody that came here this morning. Got a little bit of weather going on outside. I think you'll still be safe on your way home. But I appreciate you being here. It means a lot. And I just love it when people of God can get together and fellowship with one another. Continuing, like I said from early on, that we want to build solid relationships in this place here. And I believe that as this year goes, we're going to continue to build those solid relationships. And our course of action is to pursue one another intentionally, to get to know a little bit about somebody, find out what their favorite color is, what their favorite food is, whatever it may be, but get to know something about somebody here that you didn't know before. So God bless you. Hang out, stick around, talk, laugh, have a good time. But God bless you, and you are dismissed.